Daf Chaf Vav. So let's take him from the bottom of Chaf Hayim Beis. The Gemara quotes a Brisa Tani Rabbanan Chasan Vashoshvinin Vechol Bnei Chuppah. The Chasan, all those, his whole wedding party and everyone part of the Chuppah are all Ptur Minat Tefillah Uminat Tefillin Vechayav Mikriyashma. Before we go to the next page, you look at Rashi in the bottom to explain why they're Pater from these things and Chayav and Shema. Rashi says Ptur Minat Tefillah Debay Kavanah, because they have no Kavanah, they're being involved in the partying, they're drunk. Because they would drink a lot of the wedding, so they wouldn't have the proper kavanah to wear tefillin. So they put them for tefillah and tefillin, which require high levels of kavanah. However, chayavim bekriyas shema de mitzvas kavanasa eino ela pasuk rishon. The only requirement for shema is only to have kavanah for the first pasuk, which is somewhat easy. V'yachon leisha v'daitan shak tana kadei likro pasuk rishon. They have the ability to pause for 30 seconds to focus, and then the rest of shema they could just say, even though they're not fully paying attention. Going on to Daf Chaf Vav Amin Alf, now the Gemara continues to say, and quotes another opinion, Mishum Rabbi Shila Amru Chasan Pater, however, Hashoshvinin V'chol B'nei Chuppah Chayavim. Rashi explains on the top why we make a distinction between the Chasan and everybody else. So Rashi says, a Chasan Pater Mikriyashma Detard, he's just more tard than everybody else is. He's busy about the Kala. V'shar B'nei Chuppah Chayavim. This brisa, according to at least Rashi's understanding, they don't hold of osek b'mitzvah patim min mitzvah. It's a different angle. It's an angle of kavana, whether they have kavana or no kavana. But osek mitzvah patim min mitzvah was not on the radar, according to Rashi. Others should argue and take a different approach to this brisa, but that's at least pashup shot, according to Rashi. It's all about tirda and nothing to do with osek b'mitzvah patim min mitzvah. When I quote another brisa, a similar brisa, Tanya Amr b'chananya ben Akavya. Kosvei Svarim, meaning a sofer, one who writes Svarim, Sifrei Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzos. Hein, they themselves, the sofrim themselves, v'tigrayim, we're going to look at Rashi in just a moment, the tigrayim, the ones who sell them, v'tigrayim, those who sell them at the second, the people who buy from the buyers, v'chol ha'oskim b'melecha shemayim, anybody else who's involved in some type of holy work, which comes to include what? Lasuye mochrei tcheles, those who are selling tcheles for tzitzis. Anyone involved in selling mitzvahs, pturim mikriyashma uminatfila uminatfilin umikol mitzvahs ha'amuras b'torah. They're parted from all mitzvahs. Why? Lakayim divi Rabbi Yosef Glili shaya Rabbi Yosef Glili omer ha'osek b'mitzvah. So this brisa argues with the previous brisa that anybody who is osik b'mitzvah, as we know, is pater from all other mitzvahs. By selling sefer Torah, tefillin mitzvahs, and so on, it's considered osik b'mitzvah. So look at Rashi for a very important definition of what is tigrem mean. So Rashi says three lines from the top here, tigrem halokhin mehem, people who buy from the sofrim to sell to others, kedei limchor ulam tzion letzarach lehem, to sell and to make available to other people. So Rashi makes a very important point here. The Magen Avraham picks up and says, if a person sells Sifrei Torah, Mezuzah, and Tefillin to make money, that's not Osek B'mitzvah. Only the person selling just to make it available. I'm not trying to make money off the guy. I just want to make it available. So the Sofrim don't have business skills. They don't have the time or ability to sell. So he's busy writing in the back room in the Sifrei Torah. I'm the nice guy. I'm going to take a Sifrei Torah and sell it. At cost. I'm not making money. The sofer will make money. I'm just a nice guy, a chesed. If I'm selling it just to make guys have tefillin and tefillin and mezuzahs, that's from Osek B'mitzvah. But to make money, that's not called Osek B'mitzvah. So the Magen Avraham asks the question, wait a second. The classic case of Osek B'mitzvah, Pater B'mitzvah, is a guy who's a Hashavas Aveda. I find your Aveda, and the Gemara says, I'm Pater from paying the ani who comes from my door, because I'm Osek B'mitzvah. I'm busy taking care of your Aveda. That's Osek B'mitzvah. I'm Pater from the mitzvah of tzedakah. That's the classic case where I'm exempt, I'm making money, or I'm saving money from not having to do this. So the Magen Avraham gives a very important distinction. When I'm watching your Aveda, and an ani comes to my door, I don't have to answer it, I'm Pater. That's my intention isn't to make money. My intention is the mitzvah of osik b'mitzvah, patim b'mitzvah, hashavas aveda. I happen to make money off the guy because I don't have to pay the ani. But here, the ikar intention of a guy would be to sell Sifrei Torah to a mezuzah to make money. In that case, since that's my ikar intention, that's not called osik b'mitzvah, patir min mitzvah. Hey, going by to now the Gemara. Gemara says, Tanir, Baran, bring this back to Hilchos Sukkah now. We have this concept of osik b'mitzvah, patir min mitzvah. So the Baraita says, Tanir, Baran. Holchei derachim b'yom, p'turim min ha'sukkah b'yom. Those who travel during the daytime, but they sleep at nighttime, so while they're traveling, they're pater. But at nighttime, when they're not traveling, they're sleeping, they're taking it easy, they're eating, and whatever they're doing, they're chayavim b'layla. So why is a holchei derachim, why is he pater from ha'sukkah? So if you look at Rashi, four lines from the top here, Rashi explains here, holchei derachim b'yom, p'turim min ha'sukkah b'yom. Dichsiv b'sukkos teishru ke'en yeshivas beiso. that the way we live in the sukkah should be just like the way we live at the house, which means kishem shekol hashana eino nimna milechas b'derech b'schara. In the regular day, today's Monday, we're going to go out and go to work and make some money. Kach koi mosachag sheina yamtif. Any day of the sukkahs, which is not yamtif, which is another way of saying chol hamoed, lo hitzichu akasid limnoa. We were not told to hold back, and we were able to go out to work, make schara, go to travel. And therefore, it seems that's the normal way of living in the house, it's the normal way of living in the sukkah. And I'm pater, I'm traveling on that, but when I'm at night time, I come back home, when I'm not traveling, I'm chayv in sukkah. Gemara says similar to this, holochay drachim belayla, those who travel at night time, they're pter min sukkah belayla. However, when they're at home and not traveling, chayavim bayom. Holochay drachim bayom belayla, those who travel during the day and during the night time, whenever a person's traveling for holchei drachim, which is normal, person would be pater from the sukkah. It's an interesting discussion amongst the poskim whether a person is allowed to take a tiul on sukkahs and avoid himself from having to be in the sukkah. Certainly a tiul is allowed, but you have to make sure there's a sukkah wherever you go. So some poskim, so no. Just like I'd go during the year, I'd take a nice vacation up to, I don't know, Maine. So too on sukkahs, I could take a trip to Maine. Ah, there's no sukkah in Maine. Okay, that's fine. That's a normal way. What a person would do during the normal year. Others say, no, you should go ahead and make sure there's a sukkah wherever you're going. So this depends on this sukkah here of holchei drachim. So then the Gemara says further.
The term in a sukkah means that you're allowed to have a meal without it, or you just...
No need for a meal. No need for a sukkah. You eat a meal, a full meal, without a sukkah. You're completely potter from it. So the Gemara then says further here, holchem l'dvar mitzvah, one who goes to travel for a mitzvah purpose, not simply for a schara, not simply for a nice, tiul, but for a mitzvah, he's pturim bein bayom bein b'layla. He's potter bein during the daytime or nighttime. If you look at Rashi, important Rashi here, says Rashi five narrow lines down. Holchim l'dvar mitzvah p'turim b'yom v'lalayla v'yafal pishein holchim el b'yom. Even though they're traveling only during the daytime and nighttime, they're sleeping. They're home. Mishum detridim v'doagim m'achsheves ha-mitzvah v'tikuneha p'turim min ha-mitzvah. Because even at nighttime, they're going to travel to do, I don't know, pidyon shvuyim. So he's traveling during the daytime. At nighttime, he's resting, but he's still worried about collecting the money and making sure they're saved. So you're tarred b'layla in the mitzvah. That's considered osig mitzvah. This comes up also by the sugya of Bris Mila, that women are also involved in the mitzvah of Bris Mila. Even though the Gemara clearly says women are pater from giving a Bris Mila to the child, it's still their obligation to be tarred to ensure that it takes place, and therefore there's some level of mitzvah even during the stages of preparation, mental preparation, physical preparation. That's all a part of the extension of osig mitzvah. And the Gemara gives an example here. When these two Amorim, they go to the Shabbos on Rega, which means Shabbos Chol HaMoed. They go to the big drasha on during Yantif, to the base medrash of Reish Galusa. They slept on the riverbanks of Surah, not inside a sukkah. They slept out of the sukkah. How could that be? This is sukkahs. Amri, anu shluchei mitzvah, anu upturn. We are traveling to go here as shir, to be osik mitzvah, and therefore we're pater even when we're not traveling, even balayla. That's the proof. So the Gemara says, or that's the story. So the Gemara then says, Tanya Rabbanan, the Baraisa says, Shom me'ha'ir, those who are protecting the city, the security guards, bayom, and they're daytime security guards, pter min ha'mitzvah, they're pater during the daytime because they're performing the very important mitzvah of shmiras of the city, or the people. Bayom, however, chayav and balayla, but nighttime where they're not observing the city, they're not providing security, they're chayav in sukkah. Shom mihayir balayla, those who are watching the city at nighttime, they're pturim min sukkah balayla, but chayavim bayom. Shom mihayir, those who watch bein hayom bein halayla, are pturim min sukkah bein bayom bein balayla. And shom mi ginos and pardes, and those who watch over people's orchards and fields and out in the back, they're pturim bein bayom bein balayla, because they're expected to be there all day long. So these are different examples of those who are involved in certain mitzvahs and or they're tarred of some sort, they're pater, whenever they're involved in these mitzvahs. So asks Gemara, v'lav de sukkah hasam. So when the people are watching the orchards and the fields, build a sukkah there, and they can accomplish both. They can watch the fruit in their sukkah. So Gemara says, v'leisvei, and sit in the sukkah there. So by Amar, teishu kein tadur. It should be just like your house in your actual house. What does that mean? So Rashi explains here, if you look at Rashi kein tadur, around 10 narrow lines down, just like you live in your house, that's how you should live in the sukkah, which means the Torah requires us to leave our house, live in a sukkah with your bed and your couches and your chairs and your pots and your pans and your mattresses. I can't bring that out to the orchard. That's a long schlep. to my house, my front yard, my backyard, it's easy to bring everything out. But to go all the way to the orchard, which is far away, that was a tircha, and therefore they did not require us making a sukkah in the back where they used to watch over the orchards. Gemara gives a second reason according to Rava. Rava Amar, Pirta Karla Ganav. That's in asking the Ganav to come. In other words, when you had a sukkah, it was walled. They didn't have windows like we had. The three walls, and maybe one end was open. So I could watch the northern part where I had no wall. But I can't see the south or the east or the west. I'm blocked by the walls here. So the guy's going to say, wait a second, Reuven's the shomer today at Sukkot. He can only see one direction. I'm going to sneak behind him where he can see from the sukkah and steal for there. That's going to be terrible shmira. And for that reason, it would be usher, or at least one is pater from the sukkah. So my benai, what's the nafkamina between these two reasons, whether it's teshu kane to duru, or it's because it's a pirtzer kor laganav? Ika benai the kamanter kariyot the pir. He's watching just one pile of fruit in front of him. If it's not a whole field, it's just the fruit in front of him, he can sit in the sukkah and watch that one pile of fruit. It will provide the proper protection. However, in terms of schlepping his mitas, his bed, and his matches out to the back, that ptur will still be in play. So Gemara then says halfway down the Amud here, Cholim umisham shehem, those who are ill and all the different nurses who are taking care of him, they are all pater from sitting the sukkah. So Tanya Rabban, the Brayso says, Chola she'amu the chola that we spoke of. What type of a chola? We know there's a chola sheish bo sakana. Okay, she'ein tzeba se'ein bo sakana. Which chola is pater from the sukkah? So chola she'amru lo chola sheish bo sakana. Not only one who's dangerously ill, elafilu chola she'ein bo sakana. Even one who's not dangerously ill, he just is a little bit uncomfortable. Afil chash be'enav. Even if he just has his eye bothers him. Ve'afil chash berosh, he's a little bit of a headache. He's also pater. And Rashi explains here, Tosos explains here, Vafilu, Chash Be'enav, says Tosos, Alpha Pish She'en Bosakana's eye, and even if the eye bothers him, but it's not where the eye's going to be, you know, he's going to lose his eye, because if it were to be that case where his eye is in danger of being lost, there's a vision, the Sakana's Aver, Kisakana's Nefashos. Losing a limb has the same status as one's Pikuach Nefesh, Afilu Chal Alef Shabbos. We would be Mechal Shabbos to save a person's limb. So we're not talking in that extreme. Chash Be'enav means his eye bothers him, it itches him, it, I don't know, it's red a little bit, it stings him, something like that. Even that case, a person would be pater from the sukkah. And the Gemara says further, go back inside now. Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, pa machas one time, chashdi be'enai be'kesari. I was in Kesaria, and my eye was bothering me. V'hiti Rabbi Yossi b'rebi lishon ani u'mishamshi chutz l'sukkah. And because I was a little bit uncomfortable, they permitted me to sleep outside the sukkah inside my house, where it's warmer, it was more comfortable. Rav, another similar situation. Rav, Shari the Rav Acha Bardila, he permitted him l'migna l'bekilsa b'sukkah to sleep within a little tent inside sukkah, even though that meant he wasn't technically sleeping in the sukkah anymore, halachically, because he was in a tent, he permitted to do so. Why? Mishum Bucky was very natty, buggy outside, he had mosquitoes, so that's another reason a person is exempt from the sukkah. These are cases of mitzar. There's a case of a cholas pater, that's a general p'tur of chola, and there's a unique mitzar p'tur when it comes to sukkah. So these are cases of mitzar. Rava, because the guy's not sick when they're bugs, it's just the mitzar, bothers me. Rava Shari La Leli Rava Acha Bar Ada Lemigne Bar Mimbat Lasa. He permitted him to sleep outside the sukkah. Mishum Sircha De Gargishta. It smelled very bad where the sukkah was located. So that's another p'tur of mitzar. So Rava Latame, Dama Rava Mitzar Patimina Sukkah. One who's bothered by whatever it is outside is exempt from sitting, sleeping, eating the sukkah. V'ha'an and Tzan, don't we say, Cholun Misham Shayan P'tur Mina Sukkah. Cholain Mitzar Lo. How is that true? Isn't it? Can we make the following dik? Our Mishnah says one who's ill is pater from the sukkah. Does that not imply that one who's not ill, but just a little bit bothered, uncomfortable, is chayv in the sukkah? So Gemara says no. This is the difference between a chola and a mitzar. The Gemara explains, Amri, chola hu umisham shav patur. One who's ill, so he and all those who are taking care of him, all the nurses, they're all pater from the sukkah. In contrast to a mitzar hu pater umisham shav lo. Only the mitzar himself, one who's uncomfortable, is pater, but all the different people who are attending to him are not pater from the sukkah. So this,
unless they're also mitzar.
Sorry?
What's the reason for the difference? Is it the chola that's more of a mitzvah?
The chola needs the people. He needs the people to take care of him.
But the mitzvah, I don't know, like, meaning are these people paid attendants that, like, the chola has servants?
Not necessarily.
The mitzvah also has servants and they have to serve them.
No, the chola needs help. You can't attend an ill person inside the house without any nurses. No one's going to take care of him. Who could provide his water and the food? Is to make sure the temperature is good? The star is a guy who's a little bit bothered by it, but no one else is bothered by him. So to make everyone else putter because he just needs to be served better, there's no exemption for everyone on that case.
I'm saying in general, most when one is mitzvah, they're also mitzvah. Like if it's hot or.
Let's say the shear. That's always the question. What's the shear? So the Mordechai says the shear of mitzvah is the person were to be in his house. Would he leave his house if he had the same discomfort? Would you leave a house? So Sfas Hamish just clarifies a little bit further. He says, does that mean, let's say I've got two houses. So would I leave house A for house B? Is that what it means? Or no, let's say I've got no house. Would I leave my house and sleep outside because that smell or the bugs were inside the house? So how to measure it is very hard, but he's noted to the first side, which means if I've got two houses, I'd leave house A for house B, that would be the gether to define whether that's considered a proper mitzvah or not. Gemara then says further, Gemara says around, I don't know, 15 lines from the bottom, Ochlin achilas arai chutz l'sukkah. Those who eat a snack outside the sukkah, so they're pater. So we saw this discussion already at the end of Maseches Yuma, if you remember. So what's the shiv achilas arai? Kam achilas arai? Amr of Yosef, tarte o tlas be'ah. Two or three egg sizes of food. So amr le'abaye v'hot zimnin sagin. Weren't there many times? Sagile le'inish b'hachi? Wasn't that, and that was enough to fill a person up a regular meal? V'havile sudas keva. That's not a snack, that's a meal. Ella amr baye. What it meant was what Rav would normally taste before he'd go to the big shear. What it meant was, Rashi says, oftentimes there'd be a shear, and the shear could last for a long time, there could be many questions, and he won't be able to have lunch later on because it extends for so long. So sometimes before walking out of the house, he'd stuff a little bit of food in his mouth and then walk out. That wasn't a meal. He wasn't sitting having pancakes and waffles or cereal. He took a little snack from the cabinet, ate it, and walked outside. That small amount of snack, that's considered a shear. What that means practically, I'm not sure, but it's that's the definition of achilas arai. The Gemara now goes on to a discussion about achilas arai versus sheinas arai, napping versus snacking. So the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, ochlin achilas arai chutz l'sukkah, vein yishenan sheinas arai chutz l'sukkah. One may eat snacks outside the sukkah, but one may not take naps outside the sukkah. The naps must be within the sukkah. My time, what's the reason? Amar Rav Ashi, gzera shem yirdom, he might fall asleep. And Rashi goes on to explain, he falls asleep, so maybe it's going to be Shemi Afiach Ben, he might pass gas while he's sleeping, he won't know. So Gemara explains, Amar Le Abaye Ella, Hadatani, that price, which says, Yashen Adam, Shenas Arai B'Tfilin, a person could take a nap with Tfilin, Avalo Shenas Keva, but he cannot take he can't sleep with Tfilin on. So why we allow a person to take Shenas Arai by Tfilin? We said by Sukkah, you can't take Shenas Arai, Chutz HaSukkah. But you can by Shenas Arai by Tfilin, Leicha Shemi Yirdam, shouldn't be concerned, he might go into a very heavy slumber. So Amar Rav Yosef, Breda V'alai, B'moser, Shenaso L'Acherim. It's talking about a case, the heter of taking a nap with tefillin is where he tells his friend to make sure I wake up, make sure I don't sleep for a long time, make sure I don't start snoring, I don't fall into a deep sleep, make sure I'm, just a light nap here. So Gemara then says, Maskevla Rav Misharshia, Arvech Arvotzarch. But let's say your friend falls asleep, so you need to have a shomer for him. How many shomers are you going to have? You can't rely on someone else, because who knows if he'll fall asleep or not. So El Amar Rabba Bar Berchanan Rabbi Yochanan v'meniach rosha bein birka v'askinim. Where the guy put his head between his knees, which means he wasn't lying down, he was sitting forward, bent over in the front. That a person cannot sleep for a long time. You can't sleep through the night that way. That would definitely be a nap, and that's where there's a heter in sleeping with the tefillin. Seemingly, that would be allowed as well for the sukkah. If you're sleeping outside the sukkah with your head down between the knees, bent forward, that's just a nap. That would be permitted both bein tefillin and bein sukkah. The Gemara then gives another answer that no, not true. Rava says, Rava Amar Ein Kevel Hashena. We can make a big difference, a fundamental difference, between sleeping outside the sukkah and sleeping with tefillin on. Meaning by napping it's not allowed by sukkah, outside the sukkah, but napping is allowed for tefillin. What's the difference? What does it mean, Ein Kevel Hashena? So he makes a distinction between, the time and the depth, the quality of the sleep. If you look at Rashi, Rashi explains all this. Rashi says, Rava Amar, L'shema Yirdam Lo Yichashena. If the guy... a nap, we're not really concerned of a guy's taking a deep nap. And therefore, Hilkach b'tfilin shari, you're allowed to. The sukkah, so if you're allowed to take a nap with tefillin, why can you not take a nap outside of the sukkah? The sukkah, hainu taima, to asa shena sarai, the fish ain't kevel shena. There's no kevel shena. A guy could take a cat nap for 10 minutes and be fully awake afterwards. It could really, that amount of time could really be helpful. Vein bechilak kevel arai le'inyan sukkah. With respect to sukkah, there's no difference between a nap and a slumber. Shein adam kaveh atzma l'sheina, shepamim l'sheina ela minamne me'mat v'daya b'kach. A guy might just fall asleep, doze off, and that'll be enough to give him the next 6 hours of awake time. V'v'lehilkach zuhi sheina, so that's his sleep. And that becomes the sheinas keva when it comes to sukkah. And turns out you slept outside the sukkah, sheinas keva. So how come by tefillin it's not the same case? But by tefillin, it's not a question of sheinas arai or sheinas keva. But tefillin, the time of Shemi Afiach Bem, that's the concern. V'la Mishem Isra Shena. Sleeping itself isn't a problem with tefillin. It's because Shemi Afiach. and b'naim porta with a little bit of a nap, dozing off just slightly, lo asli de hafacha, that's not going to lead to it. And therefore, when it comes to tefillin, it's about a long sleep, that's the concern. When it comes to sukkah, it's about a deep sleep. And a deep sleep can be accomplished even in just 10 minutes. And therefore, all naps are asr when it comes to the sukkah. Vayit in the Gemara now, last four lines of the Amud, the Gemara says as follows. Tani, we have three brises that all contradict each other. Tani Chad, the one brise says, Yashin Adam betfilm shenas arai, about lo shenas keva. One could take a nap with tefillin, but you cannot take a slumber. Tani Idach, another brise says, Bein keva bein arai, you could sleep either way. Whether it's a nap or a slumber, you could sleep with tefillin on. And the third brise says the complete opposite, Tani Idach, lo keva v'lo arai. You can't sleep any sorts of sleep, even a nap would be also with tefillin. So a three-way machlokas in the brises. How do we reconcile? How do we explain all this? So lo kasha, ha dinakile biyade. One is where he's holding on to them, but he's holding on to the tefillin, but not wearing them. We're concerned that even if he takes a nap, he might drop them. So don't sleep or don't nap with them. That's when it says lo keva v'larai. Next case is ha demancha bereisha, where he's wearing it on his head. So there, on his head, arise aloud. But if it's keva, then we're concerned shemi yafiach. So that's where the difference is. Arise aloud to take a nap, but don't take shenas keva. And then the third case is Hadipar Sudra Alave, where he's having some covering on top of it. So Rashi explains here, where he's has it next to his head. He's not actually wearing it. So then you're allowed to sleep Shanas Arai Shanas Keva. You're not holding it. You're not wearing it. It's just next to your head. And therefore, that's when it's completely permitted. So that's how we read these two different brises. So
that it's in different orders, right, than the presentation.
That's not much of it makes a difference, though. So then the Gemara says, Kama Shanas Arai. How long is a Shanas Arai? How do you define a nap? Is it 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour? So Tani Rami Bar Yechezkel Kedei Hilach Mea Amah. However, take the time it takes to walk 100 Amah, whatever that shear is, that's a Arai. That's Shanas Arai. So Tani Nami Hach, the Brisa says the same thing. Hayashim B'Tfilin, a person who sleeps with Tfilin on, the Rawa Keri, he sees Keri, Ochet Birtu. The din is you cannot touch the Tfilin at that point. You have to remove the Tfilin at that point. You have to take it off when a person's Keri. How does one remove it properly? The Gemara says, Ochet B'Ritzu, he should hold on to the Ritzuos, onto the straps only, V'Eina Ochet B'Ktziti, he should not hold on to the actual boxes. That would be disrespectful because of Tumas Keri. That's all Divrei Rebbe Yaakov, that's Rebbe Yaakov's understanding. A person may not take a nap, but it cannot sleep a long time with it. So, comma, how long is Shanas Arai? So just like we said earlier, it's a Shir Me'ama, that's what this Brisa says clearly. So Gemara says further now, four lines down in Chaf Vav Amud Beis, Amar Rav, Osir L'Adam Lishan B'Yom, Yosem Yishanas Hasos, a person may not sleep more than 60 breaths of a horse. That's right. We'll see in a second. The amount of time it takes for a horse to sleep, where sheer that is, we'll see in just a moment. The Kama Shanas Hasus, Shisa Nishma, a horse sleeps apparently 60 breaths and then he wakes up. So a person should not sleep during the daytime more than the amount of a horse. So Amar Bai says, Shnose Demar Kidrav. Rav, Mar, something like Rav, and Rav Kidrebi, Rebi David Melch, that is, the David Kasusya. V'desusya shisha nishman. So this was a mesara that David HaMelech had slept that long, no longer than a horse, and that's the mesara that these great tzaddikim slept that short as well. There's a discussion, was it referring to during the daytime naps, but at nighttime he'd sleep more, a few hours, or even Balaila, David HaMelech wouldn't sleep 60 breaths Balaila as well. So that's a machlokas found in the poskim. So then the Gemara says, Abaye, have a naim k'demayel mipumpudisa, lebei kuvra. So Abaye would sleep a long nap, the amount of time it takes to travel from Pumpadisa to Bekovi, whatever that shear was, he slept that, was, I don't know, maybe an hour. It was a little bit longer than the 60 breaths of a sus. And Kariyale, Rav Yosef referred to him as An Masai Atzel Tishkava. What a lazy guy. He sleeps so much. Masai Tokum Mishnesecha, when you wake up from your slumber. So he slept for a long time, which probably wasn't really that long, but just relative to the Shenas Sus. So then the Gemara says, Tani Rabbanan. Hanichnas Lishan Biyom. A person wants to go to sleep during the daytime and he's wearing tefillin. What should he do? He can either take them off or he can wear them if he wants. That's not a big deal. What's why is that allowed? So it says the Gemara, rather it says Rashi, around 10 narrow lines down, so the concern here is the sugya of keri. So we're not concerned with the keri. I should backtrack for a second, sorry. The reason for a long time of sleep for a moment, the reason why they had the discussion why one should not sleep for so long was either because it's going to be tam misa. The Gemara says one who sleeps tastes misa, so he didn't want to sleep so long, so he shouldn't taste misa. And Rashi is the reason why, because of bittul Torah, waste time of learning. That's the previous sugya. Sorry. Now back to the case here. A guy wants to take a nap during the daytime, so the concern of wearing tefillin during the daytime or nighttime is one of it being mishamish mitasa meisha. It's both inappropriate and also scary. So therefore, one should not wear tefillin while sleeping. But bayom, where no one sleeps sheinas keva, no one sleeps a slumber, no one's going to be mishamish isha bayom. Therefore, one can wear tefillin if he wants, or he can take them off. However, balayla, so then l'chole, to must remove his tefillin balayla, ve'yamaniach divrei Rebbe nasim. He should certainly not wear them either. He should take them off. If he's not wearing them, he should not put them on either, because of the concerns of sheinas keva and because mishamish ishto. So it comes along now, Rabbi Yossi omrim hayiladim, which don't refer to kids, referring to young married couples who have less self control. Hayiladim li'olam cholzim must always remove the tefillin even by yom ve'manichan, and should not leave them on b'pnei shuragil matuma, because they're accustomed to tuma. Which Rashi means kasaka daitach shema yiru kari, they might see kari even by yom. That's when it comes to the young men. So Gemara then says lema. So why doesn't Rabbi say lema say kasara Rabbi Yossi ba kari asal and yachtvil? So shouldn't we be concerned? Shouldn't you just say that a Baal Keri can't wear tefillin? Is that what we're saying? That a Baal Keri can't wear tefillin? Is that the concern? And Amar Bai says, no, it's not really the issue of Keri, but you allow them v'nishosem imam, referring to young men who are married, asking them, shem yavali de hergal davar. We're concerned of being mishamish isho, not because of Keri per se, but mishamish isho, that's the concern. So the Havina was referring to young singles, not referring to young married. So Gemara then quotes a brayso, Tanya Rabbanan, shachach v'shimesh mitasa b'tefillin. One is forgets and accidentally uses tefillin on his mishamish ishto. What should he do? If tefillin eino ochez lo b'ritzui, he should not grab onto the strap lo b'ketitza nor with the box itself. Ad shi'ito yadav, he should wash his hands first and then v'yitlam, and then take off the hands. Rather, take off the tefillin v'pnei she'yadaim askenotim, because the hands move and they get dirty, and therefore wash hands off first before removing the tefillin. So then the Mishnah, new Mishnah tells us, we saw this Mishnah also Maseches Yuma quoted, the Mishnah tells us, Ma'isev evi'ilo l'Rebbe Yochanan Zakkai l'tom es ha'tavshil. One time they brought a little bit of something to taste Rebbe Yochanan Zakkai, and the Rebbe Gamliel, and they brought shnei kosvos v'delishamayim, and two amounts of food, and a pail of water. V'amru, they said, helam l'sukkah, let's go to the sukkah, and eat there. Ukshinit l'lo Rebbe Tzadok, when they gave it to Rebbe Tzadok, what did he do? He was ochel pachas mikabetza, he took less than a kabetza, ate it. Not lubimapa, he wrapped it in some handkerchief. He didn't wash his hands. He ate outside the sukkah and didn't have to bench afterwards. Because if it's pachas mikabeta, you don't require tzias yadayim, you don't require the sukkah, and you don't require benching. That was the ma'aseh shaya. So some were machmir to bring the food to the sukkah, even though it was a snack and less than the shir. Others said, no reason to be machmir. So Gemara then says, explains Ma'aseh lister. This is Ma'aseh contradicting the halacha. Why? Because if you look at Rashi, Rashi says Ma'aseh lister. Last Rashi in the page here. V'chiderech hamedabrim lahavi achad divrem Ma'aseh sosa divrem. You're going to explain halacha and then bring a story that contradicts what you just proved. The katani reisha ochlin v'shosin arai chol tzukah. The previous mission we said you could snack outside, and then we go ahead in the next mission bring a story where they're makbid to bring the snacks inside the sukkah. So Gemara explains as follows. V'hachi katani. We learned from the previous mission a person's allowed to have a snack outside. But if a person wants to be machmir and to make sure everything he eats and drinks inside the sukkah, he's allowed to. That's not called yihura, that's not called gaiva, and we would praise such a person, that would be completely acceptable and not bechlal yihura. And ma'is namin, there's actually a ma'is we have, and that's what this mission tells us. V'viu lo l'Rebbe Yochanan Zakkai, litom es ha'tavshil. They brought him food. They said, "Helum l'sukkah." Let's bring it to the sukkah. That's all what we just saw in the mishnah. So now the Gemara says, "Wait a second. Ha kabeitza by sukkah. Doesn't that imply though, if there was a shiva sukkah, he would have to, right? We just said." Only because of Pachas Mikabeta, the Rebbe Tzadok eat outside the sukkah. That implies, had it been a full Shiva Kabeta, he would eat in the sukkah. But we just said in Chaf Vavam and Aleph, the Shiva Sukkah, Lema, Teve Tiyofta, the Rav Yosef, Abaye. Now they said it's two or three Shirim. Or they said it was they concluded it was a little taste, a little taste Rav would take before he go to the base medrash. It wasn't a Kabeta, it was less than a Kabeta. So Gemara says no. Dilma pachad mikabeta netila ubracha labai hakabeta by netila bracha. When he had that distinction of the kabeta, less than kabeta, more kabeta, he wasn't referring to the lachas of sukkah. He was referring to the lachas of washing hands in terms of benching. But he wasn't addressing the shir of eating in the sukkah. That was a different shir. Let's quickly recap. We did a lot of things today. There was a big, juicy daf. We spoke about in the beginning here. Who's pater from the various mitzvahs Tefillah, Tefillah and Shema, the Chasan, or the Chasan v'chol b'nei Chuppah. That was one machlokas we had. Then we discussed Osik b'mitzvah, Patur b'mitzvah, the Sofrim themselves, the Tigram, those who are selling them as well, are also Osik b'mitzvah, Patur b'mitzvah. Then we discussed the Brayos about Holchei Drachim b'yom b'layla b'yom b'layla. We then discussed Shomrei Ha'ir b'yom b'layla. And we discussed the concept of two reasons why they might be potter in the Shomrei Pardes, either because Teishu came to Duru with too much of tircha to bring their beds out, or because it's going to be Poritz Geder Laganov, and that's mean it was if he's only watching one direction. Then we spoke about the Chola and the Meshamshim Repater, any Chola, even if it's not a Chola Shem Basokana. We contrasted that to a Mitzar, that while by a Chola and Kol Meshamshim Repater from the Sukkah, only Mitzar is Pater from the Sukkah, but Meshamshim are not Pater from the Sukkah. Then we discussed the Shir Achil Sarai. Initially it was two or three Kebetas, then we said no, it's really just the Ketam Bar Beirab before we went to the Drasha. Then we discussed the Shenas Keva versus Shenas Arai, Legabe Sukkah, Legabe Tefillin, and then the three-way Machlokas Brisa, when it's allowed, when it's Aser, and then depending whether he's wearing it, whether he's holding it, whether it's next to his head. And then if a person sees a carry, that he has to remove the Tefillin holding on to the Ritzuah, it's not on the Ketzitz itself. And the Shir of Shenas Arai is the time that Ketei Hiluch Mea Amma, and then about the Isser of sleeping during the daytime, more so than the Shenas Sus, more than a Sus, more than a horse sleeps. And then the Brisa, a person who goes to take a nap, Bayom, he could wear tefillin, but Belila, he cannot wear tefillin, but by Yiladim, and Shasem, even Bayom, it would be Aser as well. And the Mishnah about when they brought a little snack, even though one does not need to go to the Sukkah, there is room to be Machmer and to bring him to the Sukkah, and that's not Bechlal Yura. And we finish off talking about the Shear, that although it sounded like the Shear of the Sukkah was Kebetah based on the previous Mishnah, it's really that was referring to the Shear of Achila in terms of benching and washing hands, but the Shear of the Sukkah is actually a different Shear. Okay? Everybody have a wonderful day.